about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you done?
Yes.
Can I say something?
Go on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
A little bit of Kevin in my life, a little bit of Dean wiping my ass, a little bit of Lisa in my pants, a little bit of Ralph talking his a little bit of beer mug getting fired. Actually, a lot of that happening.
It's insensitive. It's just wrong. And that was wrong. And that won't happen again on my watch. And I'm sorry.
Thanks, Kevin and Bean. Fire beer mug.
You'll all get yours in hell, you lying, thieving, blanking blankers.
Oh, I see. You all want to blame the brother.
And now,
medicine doesn't have words to describe how horrific your illness is. I've never seen it before, but... Well, try to imagine if syphilis did it with cancer and got full-blown AIDS.
Our feature presentation.
I would rather not, if I have that option.
That seems bad.
I would rather not picture that. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning. I'd like to start off with this article. A new site is offering you the opportunity to cheer up strangers.
Really?
Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
You can either cheer up strangers or you can be cheered up. So you it's called Emotional Bag Check. It gives you two options. You can check it. Or you can carry it. This is their language.
Okay.
Either unload a problem or help others with theirs. Having a rough day, share a problem. Provide an email address and then wait. Somebody else will listen, read your problem, and they'll go, I know just the song for that. And they'll give you a song and they'll send it to you, and then you can listen to the song and you'll be all better.
I kind of like that.
Me too, but...
Would you be the baggage or the carrier?
Oh, no, I would be the... I would be the carrier. I would provide the song, but it would be the opposite of what it should be.
You should not be allowed to do that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
There are certain people that should be barred right away.
I'm too sexy, you know, songs like that. You'll learn people's problems. You can pick songs to cheer them up. You can also add a note of support if you'd like to, just to let them know that everything's going to get better. Or it isn't, which is the direction I would go. Things aren't going to get
better.
Picture
cancer. Get used to it.
Just get used to it and stop complaining.
You big
Sometimes
baby.
It helps to write it and put it out there without posting to some page that identifies you. This way, only one person sees it. On Wednesday, they tweeted that they had over 41,000 users on this site.
There's a lot of sad
Just
people.
Letting random people pick a song to cheer you up.
I like that.
Sure
I think we should try it. We should write some letters and see what
Ooh,
we get
I
back.
I like it. We could write really bad ones.
Right. We could let Beer Mug write them about his life.
That's true. Just honest. Just truth about Beer Mug's life and it would
spill
suck.
Spill it, Mugs.
I'm going to get fired any day and that's not going to make me happy.
And see what we get.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL weekend. We have perhaps the greatest song ever on today's show. About Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And it's from the same people that brought you Friday. It's Friday,
oh,
Friday, Friday.
Excellent.
The same
they
group.
They do good work.
They've taken another, she looks 13, 14, maybe 15, and she's singing How Great Thanksgiving Is.
Oh.
And it is god awful.
They hit the weekends and the holidays. Oh, is that their thing?
It's so bad. And they talk about Christmas and everything else, but this is Thanksgiving and we're going to have fun. Oh, it's just terrible.
We should start sending that to people on baggage.
That's what we do. Excellent. That one and the fruitcake for the holidays. That'll make everyone feel better. We're going to talk about Walking Dead with Chris Hardwick.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
I know.
You didn't.
I know. I am resigned.
But.
I know.
We have a comedian in studio, Simon Amstell. We have details. This is all people probably really care about.
I certainly heard about it over the weekend.
Did you?
Yes.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ, but we have details on the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yes, we do.
That is at 7:15 or, you know, whenever we get to that particular
In
thing.
The 7 o'clock hour.
Between 7:15 and 7:30, I would say.
Okay.
Details on both nights. We'll give you all the information. We'll give you ticket on sale information, the whole deal, between 7:15 and 7:30 this morning. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Coming up at 7:15 this morning, details on both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. both nights. Give you the lineup, give you the ticket on sale information, everything.
Awesome.
At 7:15.
Everything-ish.
Everything. Well, almost.
No, you said everything.
Most of
it. So if I want to know what is the temperature of the beer served at the amphitheater, you'll be able to give me that information.
Yes.
Okay.
Between 7:15 and 7:30.
I'm looking forward to it.
It may not be accurate.
I want to know.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I got a thermometer. I'll be testing you. So, Bean, of course, going under the knife to get his kidney removed to be given away for Christmas, or it's an eBay thing. I'm not exactly sure what
it's
it was.
It's an auction. It's eBay.
But you said, look, I'm the guy now. I'm control. I'm the guy behind the wheel of the bus. I have to be the man. I got to step up my game here.
Right.
And then you were late, and you said to play another song.
No one knows I was late.
I'm running late. Well,
they do now.
I'm just saying.
You
were
have
thinking,
to tell people.
You
That's
were
a
thinking,
tattletale.
You were thinking, I should get up extra early. I should brush my teeth. I should have a hearty breakfast. I should get energized for my day.
Wait, when was I thinking that?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm just saying, man.
Have you just met me?
I'm just saying. Okay, well, fair enough. Since we're all just saying, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. It is Monday morning. That's what we do on Mondays. As expected, Skyfall was the number one movie of the weekend. I don't know if anybody expected $88 million worth.
Wow.
Yeah. As we mentioned last Friday, Skyfall has already made $428 million overseas in the past 2 weeks.
That's not bad.
So,
you know what that one costs? I mean, I know they're expensive.
$200 million to make, yeah. So, already in the black with Bond. People expecting an even bigger weekend, or at least as big a weekend next weekend, because word of mouth is so strong. So, have to wait and see. Wreck-It Ralph did very well for itself as well. $33 million, made it number two. Big box office weekend. Flight was third with $15 million, then Argo and Taken 2, rounding out the top five. Here comes the boom! Number six, Cloud Atlas, Pitch Perfect, The Man with the Iron Fists, and Hotel Transylvania 3D at number 10. Did you get to see Skyfall this weekend,
I did.
Kevin?
Loved it.
Great
so
movie,
much. I want to see it again.
Yeah, I do too. I didn't get a chance to see it again this weekend.
We should have that Berenice Marlowe in. That's it. We should have
that. We had her in last week, actually. It's pretty spectacular. If you want to see me as James Bond, and who doesn't, really? We've got a new video up on the krock.com and kevinbean.com website. You can go there right now and see me tooling around in the Aston Martin for a day in my tuxedo. Living the life of James Bond. Being James Bond for a day.
Sort of.
No, not sort of.
Are you licensed to kill?
Yes.
No, you're not.
I shoot a weapon in the video. I dine on the finest foods in the video. And I romance the most beautiful women in the video.
Yeah!
So.
That's hot!
Go watch it and see to what level of success I achieve those three things.
I can just guess that.
No, you can't. Justin Bieber. Selena Gomez.
Yes.
Looks like it's all over, boys and girls.
What?
Yeah. Looks like it's all over.
And it wasn't his decision, right?
Well, it depends on who you talk to.
Aww.
Because rumor has it, initially rumor has it that Selena broke up with Justin. Now, New York Post is saying Justin was seen out with a Victoria's Secret model this weekend.
Oh, please.
Barbara, this is like Mutt and Jeff.
Barbara Palvin is her name.
Please.
Barbara Palvin and Bieber, we're out, Kevin. It's a fact. It happened.
Yeah. Like, he would know what to do with her.
What would they even
talk about? He wrecked her.
He
wrecked
her. Please.
New York Post says he wrecked her. Right here it says he wrecked her.
It doesn't say that.
Same sources.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Apparently, the Biebs and Selena broke up after months and months of nonstop arguing, friends say. That sounds like fun. Now we know why she didn't want him in that big Waverly Place reunion show.
Yeah.
She's a dick.
She's a dick. She got tired of being a beard, too. it's true. Justin and Barbara Palvin, who, by the way, Muggs, do your magic. Pull up a picture of Barbara Palvin for Kevin.
You want this for an hour from now?
Okay.
I figure by the time I'm done the showbiz beat, he may have pulled up a photo. They were seen, this is Lisa's dream date, taking in The Lion King on Broadway Thursday night.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yes, it's fabulous. It is. It's fabulous.
That's fabulous.
So, yeah, she's not bad right there. She has a sort of a skinny Kate Upton-esque kind of vibe going on for her.
She's got a little something going on, and she's not going to spend any time with Justin Bieber.
Jealous, party of one. Your table's ready.
Please.
Come over here and eat some crow at our restaurant. You just can't handle the Biebs being twice the man you are. That's getting him some Babs Palvin. B-Pal. No calling her now.
They're not calling that at all. You heard me.
No,
you heard me.
We did, and we loved it.
More relationship news. Kat Von D and DJ Dead Mouse apparently also broken up.
I didn't know they were together.
Oh, yeah. They've been together for a while.
Oh, okay.
This, once again, not Kat's decision. Poor kid. She just has no luck in love.
Yeah.
She tweeted that she's no longer together with DJ Dead Mouse. And she said she's inviting everyone to get the I told you so's out of the way.
Oh, that's nice.
DJ Dead Mouse, for his part in the in talking about the relationship, said he's just not cut out for relationships right now.
Ah.
That means I want to go bang a lot of other people.
And she's not cool with that.
Thanks so much, Kat Von D. It's been fun, but I got to go. That Barbara Palvin, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a nice boxed lunch right there.
That's a tasty picnic basket right there is what that is.
While we're talking about the ladies, Adele did an interview this weekend where she said she is fine with her size, so everyone please stop talking about when she's going to lose weight. She said, I've always been a size 14, 16, and I'm fine with that. And she said, I would only lose weight if it affected my health or ... my sex life. So apparently Adele's getting with her big old ass. Good for her. And while we're talking about big ladies, Jennifer Lawrence says she is not going to buckle to Hollywood's pressure to lose weight. Oh, yeah, she's just obese. She's horrible. She's hideous. She's a big fat mess. What's she talking about? No one ever came up to Jennifer Lawrence and said, wow, Jen, you really should lose about 20 pounds.
Well, as it turns out,
just too hot. You're just too hot.
There were complaints about the Hunger Games. In fact, I think even before...
About
maybe
what?
Maybe some critics that complained that she didn't look hungry.
Oh, F them.
She had too much weight on her to really be in that role. Is that unbelievable?
Yeah, it is.
Jennifer said she takes her role as a role model for the girls who go to see movies like The Hunger Games seriously, and she doesn't want, in her words, little girls skipping dinner to look like her. So
good for her.
She's not going to buckle to Hollywood's pressure.
She looks just fine.
She looks way fine.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about buckling to pressure, John Hamm has had to buckle to some pressure. His girlfriend, Jennifer Westfeldt, is insisting he start wearing underwear. Because apparently photos are popping up all over the internet of his significant manhood bulging out of his pants because he goes commando.
Yeah!
And
that's hot!
She's embarrassed by the photos, and she, according to Star Magazine, is asking him to strap it down. Put on some underwear, just tuck it up there, put it in a basket because...
I've been there.
Oh, stop it. You've been there looking at John Hamm's package. It's about the only place you've been.
How dare you.
How's that Barbara Palvin, by the way?
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
Not a bad deal right there.
Not bad at all.
She wears underwear.
It's way too much for him, for Bieber, though.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Get that Ryan Gosling drop up, will you?
All right.
Can you get that up for me?
Yeah, in a half hour.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sportscaster Al Michaels. You know him as one of the voices on NBC football. 68 years old today. Did you watch any of that... Houston-Chicago game last night?
Did not. No.
That was a messy, ugly game.
I was at the Galaxy game,
windy,
Ralph.
Windy and wet.
I was expecting to see you there.
Oh, I forgot. All of L.A. was packed into...
Home Depot.
Some Home Depot in the lumber section watching a soccer game. How did our Galaxy do, Kevin?
Western Conference Finals, 3-0.
Oh. They scored 3 goals in a soccer game?
Three goals.
I know you're lying.
You didn't
even go to the game.
3-0. I was
it's
there.
Never happened in the
three
history of soccer, 3 goals.
It happened.
So now it's a tie, so everybody goes, you have to...
Now we have to play them
whoever
there.
Whoever has the longer hair gets to move on to the next round.
There's no tie yet.
Singer Neil Young is 67 years old today. Megan Mullally of Will and Grace and, of course, Children's Hospital. Very funny.
She's great on that.
54 years old. Anne Hathaway from Dark Knight Rises and soon to be seen in Les Miserables this Christmas season.
I'm not sure I can buy her in that, and I've never seen it.
Dude, she looks great in that.
I've never seen
it. Shave her head.
Shave her head. She's way skinny.
Yeah.
She's not all fat like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
And she sings that song. If I had a had a dream, I
she
had dreams,
sing.
The dreams I'm dreaming.
In a higher voice.
There is nothing that makes
but
me...
But I was and I had dreams.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, it's Ryan Gosling's birthday, too. He turns 32
to
years
get you
old
off the
today.
Singing tip, but...
And I'm Ryan Gosling. I am dreaming. And I went to sleep and dreamed.
Ryan Gosling.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world famous K-Rock at 20 minutes after 6 o'clock. And time to talk with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm better than Justin Bieber is, Harvey.
Oh, don't say,
is he nursing a broken heart?
It's not over until the thin lady thing.
Tell us what happened with Justin Bieber over the weekend.
Well, they, you know, there are all these reports. In fact, they're true God, it's so sad. Justin and Selena broke up.
Oh, you're taking this hard, Harvey.
I know. I just, you know, I really thought this was going to last. You know.
Who pulled the plug? Do we know?
She pulled the plug.
Yes!
All right.
That's what we were hoping.
Because she got tired of being a beard.
But no.
No?
Come on, guys.
Harvey. I'm just trying to get to the truth.
It's not the truth.
What happened?
Look.
They're like, you know, nine-year-olds. And, you know, they have done this, like, a bunch of times where they break up and they get back together. And I'm not saying they're going to necessarily get back together, but he thinks there's a good chance they will. So it's not that he's freaked out or anything. And he, you know, there is a picture of him at a at this Broadway play or something with a Victoria's Secret model. He's not involved with her, but I can't believe I'm even talking about this.
Come on now.
I know.
We need to
what
know.
What would he do with a Victoria's Secret model? Come on.
Why do you need to know this?
It's fun to see him hurt.
Yeah.
Because it's like watching a zebra and a donkey go out. You want to know how those species can interact.
I mean, let's be honest. You know,
he thinks he can get back together with Selena, he's going out with a Victoria's Secret model to the Lion King.
He's trying to make her jealous, yeah. But bottom line is that they've gone back and forth like this for like 2 years now.
So you're saying there's hope.
Oh, they've done this, literally, they've done this over and over and over again. Now, who knows, maybe she's sick of it, but this stuff happens to them all the time.
All right. Let's talk about something even more disturbing.
Don't get the wedding gift yet.
Let's talk about something even more disturbing.
Please.
That Elmo likes jailbait.
Well.
Elmo likes little boys.
Okay, now.
Come on.
Okay, guys, listen.
Did you say gay guys listen, or just,
no, I said,
were you calling us?
Come on, guys, listen.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I was really, really nervous about coming on the show.
Why?
Because I've got to be very careful in the way I describe this story, and out of the gate, you guys are going to make this very difficult.
Well, you know that about us before you even talk to us.
I know.
How about if we start with this?
That's alleged.
Okay.
It's alleged. Kevin Clash, the guy who voices Elmo.
Who's a giant black man?
Yes.
Who knew?
Oh, my God.
All right,
Who's a giant married black man?
Okay.
Tell me when you're done.
No, you're supposed
there
to
be... There are allegations that he reportedly had a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old boy.
Here's the thing. He acknowledges that there was a relationship with this guy. He's now 23 years old. But he insists it was... You know, consenting, there were consenting adults, that the kid was an adult at the time. Now, the kid says that it started when he was 16 years old. And he has some emails that he says proves his case. One of the emails acknowledges that there was a relationship. The other email is very specific and even says, you know, from Kevin Clash, purportedly from Kevin Clash, that he says, look, I'm really sorry. I know you were 16, but here's the thing.
Wow.
Sesame Street says that they believe that email is a forgery because when this kid came forward to Sesame Street, he never produced that email. So they believe that's a forgery. Nonetheless, Kevin Clash has taken a leave of absence at Sesame Street, and he says he's doing it because he needs to defend this, you know, fraudulent and defamatory claim.
Right.
I don't really understand why somebody takes a leave of absence just to deny an allegation. He's already denied it, so
right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But he took a leave of absence.
It's possible that Sesame Street, even if they think he's innocent, kind of wanted him to take a leave of absence just to kind of separate themselves.
Well, but yeah, and it's funny you say that because one of the things Sesame Street told us, and I think this is interesting, and I'm just going to read this to you. It's one sentence. They said, it's almost a little humorous, Elmo is bigger than any one person.
Sure.
And will continue to be an integral part of Sesame Street to engage, educate, and inspire children around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying he's not tied to Kevin Clash.
Do you think that the 16-year-old asked him to do the Elmo voice during sex?
Okay.
That's alleged.
I'm asserting my Miranda rights here, guys.
You don't have Miranda rights on the phone, do you? We're not in a court of law.
And we're not arresting you for anything.
That's the best I can think of. It's early, okay? Jeez.
Is there any truth to the rumor that Oscar the Grouch likes it in the can?
I'm not going to get into it.
Does Big Bird have a Big Bird? What's going on sexually on Sesame Street? What's happening? We need to know.
We have many questions.
Any further
Harvey.
With the story. Harvey.
I think Elmo's going to have an unfortunate accident on Sesame Street. And the word of the day is going to be funeral.
Elmo's going on vacation for a long time.
Are we done today?
No.
Hey, Ralph.
Oh, come on, guys.
Ralph, you can try out for Elmo. Let's make
right.
that happen.
They need a new Elmo.
You're so not interested in a 16-year-old boy.
I can touch a 16-year-old boy with the best of them.
That's alleged.
Is Chris Hansen going to be a special guest on Sesame Street? That's what we want to know. So, Elmo, I've got some emails here from you.
Let me just
You're
read
free
them.
To leave, Elmo. You can go outside. The police are waiting for you.
Don't tease Elmo!
Come on, Harvey. The possibilities are endless.
Okay, guys.
Come on!
We're making Harvey sad
we
today,
I think. We tried to be so careful.
You tried. Story. That's not our job. All right. The website, of course, is TMZ.com. TMZ is on Fox Monday to Friday, 6 p.m., 12:30, 10:30, 4. It's on all the time. And TMZ Live is 4 p.m. on Fox. Harvey, thank you very much for talking to us today. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Coming up at 7:15 this morning, or closely thereafter, details on both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Sold out.
Believe it's not sold out.
It's already sold out.
Tickets haven't even gone on sale yet.
Don't even bother. It's already sold out.
Tickets have not gone on sale yet.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to give you the details coming up just after 7:15. First, you guys, you remember this song. Could be the worst song of all time? Maybe. Because it's A, terrible, and B, catchy, and you can't get it out of your head.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
My favorite part.
Well, it's the perfect match of horrible songwriting, and then you find the worst possible singer for it, and you put them together, and that's what makes magic.
It's
and
a hit.
It was a smash. How many
I don't know.
Views were on YouTube? It was
hundreds of millions.
She made a ton of money.
There's a new one. Same group that gave you Friday.
Yeah, the Arc Music Factory, which apparently, here's their scam. You can go to them as a parent and say, well, my spoiled, entitled little child believes they should be a pop star. So if I give you an ass full of money, you will write a song for her and then produce a video for her. And she'll get to be on the internet and tell her friends in grade school that she's a star.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. They take your money and they pump out bad songs.
So they found Rebecca Black and then they gave us Friday. Now they have found Nicole Westbrook.
Oh, Nicole.
Poor Nicole. Can't be hateful, got to be grateful.
Well, that's part of the song Thanksgiving, which
really?
Is the new hit from the Arc Music Factory.
This is the new hit from the people that brought you Friday, and you will not believe Thanksgiving.
By the way, almost the same song as Friday.
It is already.
I'll talk up the post. It's the template.
All right.
It's like take out Friday, put in Thanksgiving, and you have this song. Gotta get up, gotta get my drumstick, go downstairs, gotta eat Thanksgiving dinner with my family. Now, from what I can tell, Nicole's a better singer than Rebecca Black.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm wide awake, and I should take a step and say thank
Which seat can I take?
All the things you've done, and what you did, oh yeah.
Do you get the idea that she's religious? I do, because it's Thanksgiving, and she needs to give thanks, and it's all kind of...
They just gave her a song. She's not anything.
She's not a religious holiday. It's about pilgrims and Indians.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's a lot
if
of...
It was Easter. The song was Easter, then I could give
being
you.
Being thankful.
Well, that's what Thanksgiving's about.
I understand that. But she didn't write it. No,
I
it was
know.
Patrice Wilson came up with this classic.
Ooh, yeah. December.
Okay, now here's where they start listing things.
Yeah, it's November because it's Thanksgiving. They're going back to December of last year for Christmas. That's where they're starting with their holiday countdown calendar.
And you remember on the Friday song, it was Thursday, and then what comes after is Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday
comes after that.
See, the
so
counting
now,
song.
Now they're going back to Christmas to say
January was New Year's, April was Easter. We're gonna have a good time. Oh, 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 it's Thanksgiving. We so excited.
we are gonna have a good time.
potatoes.
Hey!
It's the exact
it's the same song.
Kids do love to party at Thanksgiving.
They do. It's so fun. They're really betraying their own premise because every holiday they've named until Thanksgiving was so much better than the one they're singing about. I'm so much looking forward to the 4th of July or Christmas or New Year's or any other. Thanksgiving's just a meal, really.
They with could, your family.
But yeah. They could not be more excited about the mashed potatoes.
With the turkey. Hey!
The mashed potatoes. Hey!
We are going to have a good time. Eat the turkey. Mashed potatoes. Hey! It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. School is out.
School's out.
I can shout.
You can shout.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. No matter how you do, no matter what you say, this is my favorite.
December was Christmas.
Yeah, okay. We got that part. January. I'm not really saying anything about anything. No. They're just listing stuff. It's like Mad Lib songwriting. Give me the name of some holidays.
By the way, I don't know any kids that like Thanksgiving except for the meal. You're right.
That's right.
You have to put up with your family.
Family
all day.
Shows
and
up.
You have to help make the meal.
Yeah,
and
you didn't even mention football, the one good thing right. about Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. We were gonna have a good time.
No, we're not.
Oh, 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 it's Thanksgiving.
The video our friends are coming over.
We are gonna have a good time.
Now, at what point does she grab the turkey leg and start singing into it?
I think it's towards the end before she gets into the rap.
She does not.
Before she gets into Thanksgiving rap.
That is not true.
That happens.
And it's the weirdest Thanksgiving meal ever if you watch the video because it's all kids. There's no adults to be seen until creepy Patrice Wilson, the guy who wrote the song, the big black guy, shows up in a turkey costume. It's like a Chris Hansen
in
wet dream.
In a full-body
like
turkey
nightmare.
Costume. Right.
They're all sitting at the table holding hands, and he shows up. This giant black man shows up in a turkey costume.
And there's no... Ralph's right. There's no family. It's just all kids.
All right, we understand what the menu is.
It's Thanksgiving.
Let's get some rap going here.
Thanksgiving given, and I'm trying to be forgiven.
Ooh.
Nothing is forbidden. She know we gotta have. I gotta give thanks to you and you and you. Can't be hateful, gotta be grateful, gotta be grateful. Can't be hateful. Mashed potatoes on my table.
She's so happy about those mashed potatoes.
Can't be hateful. Got to be grateful.
Can't be hateful. Got to be grateful.
Mashed potatoes on the table. She's like a 12-year-old white kid, and she's trying to rap this horrible rap that Patrice Wilson, as a black man, should be embarrassed that he wrote.
And the parents. Where are the parents?
That's
why
she's grateful. She murdered the parents, and the bodies are in the basement.
They should say, look, Nicole, you're a young girl. Let's not open you up to this kind of criticism.
Can't be hateful. Got to be grateful.
I got ribs, smelling up my neighbor's ribs. Can't deny. Having good times, we be laughing till we cry. It's Thanksgiving.
Do you laugh until you cry at Thanksgiving?
That's the funniest holiday there is, Thanksgiving, really.
Come on, it's Thanksgiving. Give them thanks, y'all.
Give them thanks, y'all.
We were gonna have a good time. Oh, 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 it's Thanksgiving. We are gonna have a good time.
Hey! It's a very limited menu, by the way. What about the yam?
No yam.
There you go.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Worst song ever.
Kind of catchy.
This guy, Patrice Wilson, said, you know, there's a lot of Christmas songs. There's a lot of what holiday hasn't really been served by a song yet that maybe we can cash in on and they'll play it every year? There's no Thanksgiving songs, really. Let's make a horrible Thanksgiving song. And the reason, Patrice, there is no Thanksgiving songs is because it's a horrible holiday to write a song about.
Yeah, and it's a horrible song that you've written about it. So congratulations.
Can't be hateful. Got to be grateful.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock, a half hour from right now. Details on both nights of the K-Rock, the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah!
Half hour from right now. Tune in for that. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
While we're talking about holiday festivities, don't forget we are still taking submissions for the Miss Double December 2013 pageant.
It's the last week.
Every year we look for a spokesmodel to represent the show at all of the events that we do on the Kevin and Bean Show. That includes the aforementioned Almost Acoustic Christmas. You'll be attending should you win. Also, there's Weenie Roast. There's... Thank you. Thank you so much. There's April Foolishness. There's all our singles parties, all of our breakfast with. You get to attend all of it. That's the most annoying crowd ever, ever.
So here's what you do. You go to krock.com. You fill out the application. You send in a couple recent full-length or three-quarter-length photos of yourself. Then we'll be collecting submissions all the way through Friday. On Monday morning, the 19th, what we're going to do is pick the top 10 finalists, open up the voting to you, the K-Rock listeners, and then you get to decide which one of these lovely ladies will be representing us throughout the year of 2013. The pageant's on the 30th down at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in Fullerton, California. We invite everyone to come down and you bring an unwrapped toy so we can start collecting toys for the Toys for Tatas program that we do with the Marines every year. It's a great event. It's going to be a blast. So, ladies, this is your last week to sign up. Do it now. Do the right thing. Put them on the glass. That's the motto. The motto we have every year. Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise here. James Bond is number one. This is on pace to be the most successful James Bond movie ever, which when you think about a 23-film franchise,
okay,
it's really saying something that the 23rd installment of a franchise could be the most popular and that the Bond franchise very much still alive. $88 million it made this weekend, almost $90 million, making it number one. You know, the Bond franchise almost died before this film was made. Yeah.
When?
When Sony took over the franchise, when
after Quantum Solace,
Quantum of Solace, yeah, and United Artists went belly up, and then they went bankrupt, and they didn't know what was going to happen to the franchise. They had to cancel plans to make the third installment of the film. So it's been a little while since we've had a Bond movie, and we're lucky that we did get one. And this is the best one in a long, long time, if not ever. Wreck-It Ralph is number two at the box office with $33 million. First two movies this weekend took in over $100 million.
Wow,
it's crazy. Flight, Argo, and Taken Two rounded out the top five. Then here comes The Boom, Cloud Atlas, Pitch Perfect, The Man with the Iron Fists, and Hotel Transylvania 3D.
Does anyone know what Cloud Atlas is about yet?
It's about how we're all connected, man.
Okay.
About how humanity goes on, and our spirits live forever in the ether. There's no death. There's no life. There's just all of us sharing a common cosmic experience.
All I know is Halle Berry plays five different roles, including a really old Asian guy with bad teeth.
Yeah.
And good.
Hanks plays five different roles, I believe, as well. And
including Medea. How can you not go?
Yeah, including Norbit. Hanks also plays Norbit.
Is Medea in it?
I do not believe so. But it's about a piece of music that is the recurrent transcendent theme throughout all of these lifespans for all these people. They are all moved by this piece of music. And it's about reincarnation. It's about how humanity and art ties us all together.
Nope.
It's about the cosmic journey, Kevin, that we all have to take.
Nope.
That life doesn't perhaps stop at the grave. Perhaps it goes on and on and on. And
we're
all part of a big mosaic, and we're all mere tiles.
Nope.
Yeah.
I think once
you get into the metaphysical, you lose Kevin, because you lose Kevin in the physical, let alone the metaphysical.
Why does Kevin hate
everything?
I don't hate everything. I love the Bond movie. I'd see that again before
I like
I'd
soccer.
See.
Galaxy won 3-0.
They did.
Was it loud?
Well, it was loud. The loud soccer game. I like loud games. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez apparently calling it quits. We had Harvey Levin on just a little bit earlier this morning talking about this, and it looked like Selena was the one who kicked Justin to the curb. So he got in his Fisker, and he went right down to Boys Town, and he feels much better now.
What car?
So worked out. His Fisker.
What's that?
It's a Fisker. Oh. You don't know Fisker? It's a Fisker. Just ask him. He'll tell you it's a Fisker. He was seen, however, with a Victoria's Secret model.
Oh, please.
At Broadway's Lion King, he was seen with Barbara Palvin. She's a good deal right there.
She is a good deal. Clearly got too much going on for him.
Yeah, I'm sure it was an excellent public relations possibility for her to be seen photographed.
Yeah, we get her
name
now and we know who she is.
Exactly. So, smart move on her part, I'm sure. K-Stu's in trouble again with her boyfriend, Rob Pattinson.
Really?
What now?
She was seen at an award show talking backstage to the star of The Mentalist, Simon Baker.
Okay.
Reportedly, she was swooning all over him and flirting up a storm. And now stormy waters ahead for K-Pats and R-Stats and R-Bats.
He's all jealous.
G-Bats and L-Sats.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to break up right after that movie comes out.
Wait,
no.
I'm going to go back to L-Sats.
They're going back to L-Sats. They're going to take the test, see if they can get in. Paul Bettany has the best job ever. You may not even know he has the best job ever. Very talented actor, Paul Bettany, married to Jennifer Connelly.
Is that the job?
Seen him in The Priest. That's the job, yeah. Seen him in Priest and Beautiful Mind. He's been in a ton of films.
I like him.
He is the voice of Jarvis, the computer in the Iron Man movies.
Oh, no kidding.
In the comics, Jarvis is a butler. In the movies, they've taken it and they made it a cyber butler, really, sort of the voice of the of Tony Stark's security system and his computer system and everything. So he plays the voice of Jarvis in the Iron Man films. And he'll make an appearance again in Iron Man 3. And he told Us Weekly magazine, "It's the best job in the world. I walk in, I say some lines, then they give me a bag of money and I leave and go about my day." So next time you hear somebody complaining about voiceover work, trust Paul Bettany's opinion. It is the greatest job in the world. Jessica Simpson has announced that she will not get married until she meets her goal weight. Therefore, the Simpson family has set a wedding date of 2047 for her to get married to the father of her child.
What's her goal weight?
She wants to get back to her original weight of 7 pounds, 8 ounces. It's an old joke. Sorry, folks. Us Weekly magazine said that she isn't going to have a huge fancy wedding, just family and close friends, because most of her family and close friends will be dead by the time she reaches her goal weight. So they're planning on a small wedding.
Fatty.
She said she has to wait until she's more comfortable before putting a wedding dress on. Yeah.
You're fat.
I guarantee you she bought the dress. I guarantee you there is a dress somewhere on a mannequin or on a sewing form. And that she has to look at it every day and say, okay, I have to get down to that weight to get into that
and
dress.
In a month, she's going to go, take it out.
She's going to say, make it bigger. Can we sew some panels onto the side of this thing? Open it up a little bit.
Make that thing fit.
There's not enough Spanx in the world to get me into that.
I need a tent.
And while we're talking about fashion, I love me some Marion Cotillard, the French actress who seems like such a regular gal.
Except for her eyes. They're a little...
Stop it.
Bonkers.
Not bonkers eyes.
A little bit.
Do you know Marion Cotillard? Bean asked our French actress guest, Berenice Marlow, last week, after he asked her if he knew Jessica Perret. Like, all French people somehow know each other.
And he stood by that.
Dork.
Later, he stood by that. He's like, yeah, I thought maybe they would. It's a pretty small community.
She was on a red carpet this week.
Bonkers.
Walking in some pointy-toed Dior stiletto heels, and she took them off midway through the red carpet. Could not bear to stand in those high heels a minute longer.
I like it.
Her publicists and handlers reportedly freaked out. Because here's the thing, it's a big deal with these fashion houses that you wear their clothing. It's like a big
exchange of
publicity.
And now she's saying, these shoes hurt my feet.
These are too painful to walk in. So the PR person pulled her aside and they said people were witnessing this handler whisper yelling at her to put the shoes back on.
Nice.
She refused. Then the publicist started running around like a chicken with her head cut off, demanding photographers only shoot her from the ankle up.
Oh,
don't show her feet. Don't show her feet.
Best.
Marion got her
way. How did we survive?
Couldn't she have held the shoes and just said, these are great?
Aren't these lovely? Beautiful. They're hand shoes. That's the latest thing from Paris.
Bonkers.
Yeah. I thought that was great that she didn't buckle. And surprise, surprise, Lady Lion! Now that she's got some legal problems about whether she was indeed driving her Porsche when she plowed in the back of an 18-wheeler on the freeway, has canceled her in-depth interview with Barbara Walters.
Oh.
She was supposed to do a sit-down with Barbara Walters and talk about all of her legal and personal problems. But now that that car crash could send her potentially back to jail if she violates her probation, Lindsay has suddenly decided that she's not going to sit down with Barbara. What a shock. How do you feel about going back inside?
No kidding.
And by that, I mean prison.
Yeah.
Not the usual way you go back inside. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Who was the drunk newscaster that was covering the
Diane
election?
Sawyer?
Diane Sawyer. She should do an interview with Diane Sawyer.
They should both do it at the Chateau Marmont after throwing
a few back.
Magnums of champagne. They should have a conversation.
Speak each other's language.
Ariana Celeste from the UFC. She's a ring girl, of course. 27 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays.
Break it.
Anne Hathaway from Dark Knight Rises most recently, soon to be seen in Les Miserables, the film version of the successful Broadway musical. She's 30 years old today. Rhoda Mitchell turns 39. She's lovely. You can ring a bell for Rhoda Mitchell.
Didn't know.
Yeah. Megan Mullally celebrates her 54th birthday today. Neil Young, singer and songwriter extraordinaire, is 67 years old.
Singer, you're using that.
Hey, my.
Crappy voice.
Al Michaels, the sportscaster, 68, and Ryan Gosling is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
In about 10 minutes, we're going to give you all the details on both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
All right.
Keep listening for that. But first, to fill the time, you're going to have to sit through
the good stuff.
You're going to have to sit through Matt Money Smith.
Wait a minute. I'm like the guy that, you know, before you unveil who the winner is of your favorite reality show.
Correct.
But first,
But first,
here's a personal backstory about somebody you don't care about.
A guy you don't want to hear from.
That's right. That's me.
Let's talk about the Lakers, shall we?
Sure.
Phil Jackson. Looked like it was going to happen, or was it ever close?
Well, this is the biggest coup for Movember since they brought back picket fences. Tom Skerritt's mustache graced that little idiot box in our living room. They chose Mike D'Antoni. I mean, that's basic, you know, just to give you the bare bones of it, the Lakers had a choice between Phil Jackson and Mike D'Antoni, and they chose, I choose you. That's what they did with Mike D'Antoni.
But weren't they demanding, you know, different things?
No.
Wasn't Phil Jackson?
My understanding is, I mean, this comes down to one thing. We talked about this a week ago. You know, you got to keep Dwight Howard. First and foremost, that's the most important thing. And my understanding is their trepidation was, is the triangle, you know, will Dwight acclimate to the triangle? Because Phil Jackson would always say, you don't want to make trades midseason. The triangle's tough to grasp. Now, Powell fit in seamlessly, but what if Dwight doesn't?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
What if he doesn't get it and he walks at the end of the year? Or what if Phil Jackson doesn't feel good, you know, at some point he's like, God, my knees and my hips and I'm old and I got to sit in this stupid chair.
He is falling apart.
Yeah, you know, what if that happens? Now what? You know, this way, anybody that's ever played for D'Antoni says, I love him. I mean, it's the best system ever. I mean, you know, it's basically 1980s basketball all over again. You haul ass up and down the floor.
Love that.
Yeah, score more points than the other guy.
Steve Nash is best at that, and he coached Steve Nash at Phoenix, right?
Right. I mean, that's the funny thing here, I guess. You know, Phil, you know, Charles and Kenny and all the guys are making their jokes. Oh man, you know, I want my accountant from Princeton. I don't want my basketball. I mean, and they used to say, I want my spaghetti from Italy, not my basketball coach, you know, and Mike D'Antoni wasn't winning anything. So here everyone's going to celebrate it because we've seen what Mike D'Antoni can do with Steve Nash, and that's win the guy two MVPs and, you know, and make a conference final with a far inferior roster.
Is this a Kobe choice?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, because he was saying the whole time, I support Mike Brown. He's my guy. I would never blah, blah, blah. Did he go, you know, behind the scenes and say this isn't working?
No. You mean with Mike Brown?
Yeah.
No, and everybody did.
But everybody did. Okay.
I don't want to say it was a player mutiny, but, you know, they were sick of sticking up for him. You know, and that's basically what happened is they didn't buy into the guy. They didn't believe in him. And every single game, you know, from the preseason, well, even going back to last season, you know, and how they got bounced. Are you sure Mike's the guy? Yeah, Mike's the guy. We love Mike. You know,
right.
Coming to the preseason. You're 0-8. Is Mike the guy? Yeah, Mike. And they were tired of doing that when inside they're saying, I don't like this guy.
Right.
I don't believe in this guy. And of all things, I got to answer questions. And it basically, they were losing their minds. I mean, the locker room was falling apart.
Now, Dwight Howard, do you think Dwight Howard's opinion carries more weight than Kobe's on the new coach?
Carries more than anything.
Really?
It is everything. Because Kobe's 34. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's not going anywhere. Dwight Howard's 26.
Right.
He is the centerpiece of this franchise moving forward for the next 10 years. He has every bit of leverage. He can leave at the end of the year, say arrivederci to Mr. D'Antoni, and get out of town with no compensation. And then what do the Lakers have to look at? Let's see. Powell, you're 33. Kobe's 35. Nash, how old are you? 39.
Nash is like 40.
That's basically what they have. So they have to think about, what do we do to get Dwight Howard to sign that piece of white paper to stick around for 5 years?
And Mike D'Antoni's preference in basketball, which is just fast break and just running as fast as you can, that suits Dwight Howard?
It'll be interesting, you know, because Mike, gosh, I don't want to get too technical. Just imagine, okay, so envision, at least I'm talking to you here, okay? Here we go.
Okay.
You know what the three-point arc is, right?
See, sure.
It's that little half circle, and Mike D'Antoni's vision is, you spread out around that circle and leave the middle of the floor inside of it wide open for whoever wants to cut into there and maybe make a basket if a defender gets sloppy.
Okay.
Now, Dwight's used to running down the middle of that floor and setting up right there in the middle of that paint where Mike D'Antoni says, no, young child, this is hot lava. You cannot step here. So it's certainly a bit of an acclimation process to figure out how Mike's going to work Dwight Howard into all of this. But
there'll be plenty of space if he wants the rest of the four to be standing out around the three-point line.
And that's kind of the way everyone envisions it, is that whoever Dwight is dragging, you know, straight Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, cockpit of airplane style, whoever he's dragging on his hip up and down that floor for 48 minutes, they're going to have to deal with the pace. And I think D'Antoni's vision is, no one's going to be able to deal with it like Dwight Howard can because, you know, he runs like a gazelle.
Right.
So he can fit in that way.
Do you think D'Antoni's going to be able to keep Meta World Peace from shooting three-pointers?
Well, that's a good question. Here's what I would say.
Here's how I cheer for the Lakers, because I'm a big Laker fan. But
sure. But
when he makes a three-pointer, I'm like, oh, no, now he's going to take 30 more.
I think Mike D'Antoni would rather Arteft put up Meta put up the threes than dribble around in a circle
all right
for 20 seconds like he did the first three games that Steve Nash was out. And Mike Brown, just close your eyes, even if you're driving and envision this, if you watch the games, Mike Brown's eyes are closed, they're winced, and his mouth is just a gape.
Yeah.
And inside he's going, oh, what the hell's going on out here? and that's what Von Artest is doing under Mike Brown.
All right, how much time does D'Antoni have, realistically?
Well, I mean, they signed him to a four-year deal.
Right.
And you know, Steve Nash takes great care of his body. Kobe loves him, by the way.
Does he?
This was Kobe's favorite player when he was a kid.
D'Antoni?
Mike D'Antoni, the basketball player, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're gonna be hearing, I mean, you're gonna hear Kobe and Mike D'Antoni screaming at each other in Italian on the floor because Mike was the star of Olympia Milano.
No
when
kidding.
When Kobe lived there, when his dad was playing there. So,
and
oh,
Mike,
yeah, Kobe grew up, I think Mike's number was 8, and that's why Kobe wore 8.
Wow.
So
did Mike D'Antoni, he also coached them at the Olympics?
Yeah, he was part of the staff with Coach Krzyzewski. So he was one of the assistants. But yeah, Kobe's known him forever. I mean, has known him forever.
Wow.
So there is a...
Sounds like the perfect choice.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think Phil would have been cool just because, look,
of
Phil
course.
Knows how to...
Phil's Phil.
...fit pieces together seamlessly. That's what he does. And there's a lot of pieces that got to fit together here. But, you know, as a backup, you know, certainly to keep guys happy
yeah.
and to make them feel good about themselves, this is the second best choice.
But you also think with Phil Jackson, you think, you know, we'll go year to year with that guy. He may die.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't sign a four-year deal with him.
Right. And that was actually a big – that was an overriding concern for the Lakers. The great irony, and oftentimes irony is used incorrectly, but this one works, is Mike Brown responded to questions about why they can't use Mike D'Antoni's system with Steve Nash since it worked so well in Phoenix.
Right.
And his answer was, what did they ever win in Phoenix? and now he's been fired and replaced by the guy that he asked, hey, what did they ever win with this guy? Well, Lakers are banking on him ahead of you to go ahead and win some games.
Well, that all happened over the weekend. For those of you that missed it, new Laker head coach, Mike D'Antoni, and we'll see how things work out. Yeah. Matt Money Smith?
Yeah, last thing for you, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
You got to brush up on your Italian. You know, you got D'Antoni down there. So here you go. I'm going to give you one thing you need.
Please.
Ready?
Yes, please.
Voglio un piatto di spaghetti.
Voglio un piatto di spaghetti.
There you go. I want a plate of spaghetti.
Okay, good. That's the most important thing to know.
Exactly.
Thank you, money.
All right, man.
Bye now. Details on the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, both nights. All right, 7:15, 7:26. What's the difference?
Yeah.
We're running a little late. Here it is. It's time for the details for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one.
The 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night one.
Saturday, December 8th, Kids and Amphitheater.
How many people in here would consider themselves a hardcore Linkin Park fan?
Linkin Park.
Are
you with us right now?
Whoa. Rise Against.
That's why we won't.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Garbage. Slightly Stupid. AWOL Nation.
Sam!
Walk the Moon.
Do you know this house is falling apart?
Gaslight Anthem. Two Door Cinema Club. Young Bloodhawk. The Lumineers.
Christmas
The number one holiday for people going nuts.
The 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Listen every day at 9, 10, 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10. Be color 20 when we tell you to call. Win tickets to both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Proceeds benefit Para Los Niños.
All right, so that's night number one.
Wow.
That's all night number one. Linkin Park, Rise Against Bush, Garbage, Slightly Stupid, AWOL Nation, The Lumineers, Walk the Moon, The Gaslight Anthem, Two Door Cinema Club, and Youngblood Hawk. Tickets go on sale for the exclusive K-Rock Street Team, which you can still sign up for Friday at noon, Friday at noon, Friday at noon.
Okay.
That's for night number one. Night number two, entirely different.
All right, now let's put on our good Christmas listening ears.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Okay, here we go.
The 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night 2, Sunday, December 9th, Gibson Amphitheater.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Brandon Flowers, and we will see you at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
The Killers.
Somebody told me you had a boyfriend, Mr. Brightside.
Jack White.
Now I hear you can thump who the thunk sitting drunk on a wagon to Mexico.
He's got freedom in the 21st century. Kiss it, boy.
This is war.
Fun.
That's how we sit this over here. We are young.
Come on, it's lovely wet. We'll stay right together.
We M83. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Here we go again.
Neon Trees.
It started with the whisper.
Pit of Monsters and Men. Group Love. Alex Clare. Imagine Dragons. The 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I love this Christmassy time of year.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Listen every day at 9, 10, 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10. Be color 20 when we tell you to call. Win tickets to both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Proceeds benefit Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center.
That's night number two.
Not bad.
How about that? Both nights, night number one, night number two, December 8th, December 9th. You can listen at 9, 10, 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10 to win tickets to both nights this week, and you need to know that the on sale is Friday at noon for both days. It's an exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale, which means you have to be a Street Team member. You get the code, mm-hmm. and then Friday at noon, Friday at noon, Friday at noon for both days of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. One more time, just in case you missed it. Made the announcement for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, both nights. You can win tickets to both nights, not just one, but both nights, every day this week at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock this morning, 10 minutes after noon, 10 minutes after 3, and 10 minutes after 6.
That would be amazing.
Listen then, you can win tickets to both nights. If you want details, go to krock.com.
Okay.
Despite strong outcry against it from the porn industry, the Safer Sex and Adult Film Industry Act, or Measure B, passed 56% to 44%.
Yeah, I was sorry to see that.
Requiring porn performers to wear condoms on set was passed by L.A. County voters on Tuesday. It'll require porn producers to apply for a permit from the L.A. County Department of Public Health to shoot sex scenes. The fee will finance periodic inspections of porn filming. And I believe we have a porn marshal on the phone right now to talk to about what this is going to mean.
Okay.
This is porn marshal Brock Cartridge. Good morning, Brock.
Good morning. How are you doing, Kevin and Bay?
Very good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm on the job. I'm on the duty. I'm protecting your interests here on porn sets everywhere.
You're on the job right now?
That's right.
Already. Okay.
I'm here in Chatsworth, California.
Right.
On the set of a porn film, making sure that Measure B
right.
is properly enforced the way it should be.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah, we're with you.
All right, then.
I guess.
Let's protect us from AIDS.
I think the adult industry was pretty much policing itself, but...
Yeah, yeah, sure they were. Yeah, that's like saying, let's let people police themselves. We don't want that.
Well,
that's why we have police.
Right, but...
police. where are everybody, then everybody would be policing themselves, but they're not. And there's some people that is police, and that's why the police have to police you.
So you show up on a porn set, and what do you just check for condoms?
That's right. I look very closely.
Okay.
The action.
Right.
Hey! Hey, you! Condoms! Hey, what? Hey, put a condom on that! Put a condom on that, mister! Hey, I'm not fooling around! Put a condom on that penis! Hey, you! You with the penis! Hey, condoms!
Hey. Oh, no, you don't have a weapon!
Yeah, I do.
What?
Guy wouldn't heed my warnings.
You shot him?
I gave him a verbal warning.
Well, right, but don't
you...
And
then you shot him?
I just shot his penis.
Don't you, well, that's shooting him. Don't you just fine him or something? Don't you just write him a ticket?
Oh, sure. Yeah, everybody's scared of tickets. No, we're here to enforce the law. That's what I'm here.
I don't remember...
Rich, porn marshal.
I don't remember voting on gunfire.
Hey, listen, lady. Don't make me come to your house. Those are kind of depraved acts are going on at your place. I'll make sure to check up what's going on with you, too. What kinds of safety and health violations going on at your house?
Yeah, they're including animals.
Your dogs on your bed.
Right. That's true.
You perv.
I'm just saying, maybe.
Hey, you. Hey, pal. Hey, you. Condom. Seriously. Wrap it. I don't know. Get a Magnum. I don't care. Whatever you need. Put it on. I said put it on.
Don't.
Oh, come on.
All right. We need another guy.
How many guys left?
I'm here protecting your interests.
But we're going to run out of.
I appreciate the work that I'm doing.
We're going to run out of
porn. Cartridge. Porn marshal.
But we're going to run out of porn stars, I think, at this rate.
Well, you know, if they need something extra, I'm always here on the set.
I'll bet you are.
Oh, really?
Hey, you fellas. Hey, you fellas. Put some condoms on. Hey. Hey, you're two guys. What are you guys doing? What are you, two guys together?
Well, yeah. That's gay porn.
They do that, too.
Come on, it's just another... Come on, not again.
Really?
No, there's anything wrong with that.
That, of course, is Linkin Park playing night one of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We made the announcement about a half hour ago. You can go to krock.com for all of the details. You can buy tickets Friday at noon.
It's almost noon. Acoustic Christmas mania already.
It is.
I'm getting emails. I'm getting tweets, friends, family, loved ones, people I haven't spoke to since grade school.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Listen,
I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Don't come down here. It's just Friday at noon. You can get them online.
Or you can listen to the station and win them.
But 10 minutes
don't,
after.
Don't come here, David Hasselhoff.
10 minutes after 9, 10 minutes after 12, 10 minutes after 3, and 10 minutes after 6 today. You can win tickets to both nights.
Is that all? Just both nights?
Just both nights. That's all.
Jeez.
All different bands.
It's a bad business plan, I think, to give away tickets to both nights of the show before we've started selling them.
They usually sell pretty well.
I think there's concerns this year.
Friday.
They may not sell out this year.
Be a street team member. You go to krock.com to get the password. You need the password. Then you can buy the tickets Friday at noon. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Skyfall, no surprise there. Number one at the box office. This movie has made $428 million overseas alone. Just opened up this weekend here in North America. It's $88 million.
Wow. And what it's a great movie. Weekend.
Ralph.
Yes.
Kevin,
are those movies usually R-rated?
Are they R-rated?
Yeah.
Is there nudity?
Is there nudity?
Some little bit nudity.
But there
usually,
wasn't.
Usually
my,
for
was
violence.
Not enough.
Usually for violence sake.
Not enough nudity.
There wasn't a lot of sex in this one. No. No.
Well, that's not okay.
People are saying this is one of the few Bonds where he only beds one woman. Really?
Huh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Get naked, you strange whore!
Smoking
that's
hot,
what I was. That was
what you
Merlot
do here.
And the shower wasn't good enough
about
for
the shower scene.
The freaking shower door was all steamed up.
Yeah, that's the nature of the beast. It's not a porn movie.
I
Kevin.
Want it
Sorry.
To be.
It's an erotic moment.
I
in
want
a
it to be
high paced action thriller. You perv. By the way, speaking of nudity, see Dexter last night?
No.
You're a fool.
I taped it.
You're
I didn't
a fool. Because
it was a galaxy game.
Yeah, y'all, now you're twice the fool you were before. Because Yvonne Strahovski.
Yes.
Great googly moogly.
Really?
She couldn't have been more naked last night.
Go see
she
that.
Was naked all over the place. She was naked in scenes she didn't even have to be naked in. She was planting flowers in the nude. It was just naked city. Nakedness.
Fantastic.
And by the way, that Michael C. Hall's got a nice ass on him, too. Yeah.
It works right? out.
Two of them were just having murderous sex together. It's pretty hot. By the way, speaking of Skyfall, if you'd like to see your wildest dreams come true and finally see me play James Bond, which many of you people have asked over the years, why aren't you playing James
Bond? It's funny, I've not seen that question from anyone.
It's a business line. They call it
a business line. Yeah.
We put together a little video over the weekend that you can check out at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's me as James Bond driving around in the Aston Martin DS, the car that Daniel Craig drove in Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace. It's me driving around for the day being James Bond, doing everything James Bond would do, eating the finest foods, firing weapons, seducing the hottest ladies, and driving the Aston Martin. It's everything Bond would do.
Forgive me for pointing this out, but you're Ralph.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out.
Okay.
In case anybody was confused and thought I was
you
Carson
are not
Daly.
James Bond is my point.
I think you'll watch this video and you might change your tune.
I just don't care at all.
Well, okay then. Wreck-It Ralph was 2 at the box office. Flight, Argo, and Taken 2. Rounding out the top 5, Here Comes the Boom, Cloud Atlas, Pitch Perfect, The Man with the Iron Fists, and Hotel Transylvania 3D. That's your top 10 box office this weekend. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez call it quits. According to our pal Harvey Levin, Selena Gomez pulled the plug.
Love it.
How could she get tired of hanging out with a man who looks like a 14-year-old lesbian? Why would that be unattractive?
Who's a complete douchebag.
To a woman who's a douchebag with his Fonzie hairdo and his Fisker. That's Fisker with a K.
Right, right.
Yeah. But Harvey seems to think they'll be getting back together again because she obviously has no self-esteem. That's the only way I can imagine that happening. Usher, a little bit of heat.
Why?
Well, apparently last week, Usher showed up at a polling station in Atlanta, Georgia to vote.
Right.
And officials showed up and gave him special treatment and ushered him to the front of the line. No pun intended. Apparently, there was a bystander there named Alan Christian who wasn't too impressed. He had to wait 45 minutes before he could vote and was blown away by the way that Usher was taken care of by officials.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Then Usher started taking pictures of himself in the voting booth voting, which slowed the process up even more so.
I'm going to tweet this. Here I am.
And so this gentleman, Alan Christian, has gone on record saying he thought it was inappropriate that celebrities get special status when it comes to casting a vote in this great nation of ours, because it is supposed to be one man, one vote. We are all equal.
I kind of agree.
In the eyes of the Constitution.
Yeah, but that guy's a douche.
If the Constitution had eyes...
Really? You think so?
Really?
They get to go to the front of the line
for
everything.
No, but
they get
Disneyland.
Everything.
No, but how much big a deal are you going to make of it?
Not Star Tours, for F's sake.
How big a deal is he going to make of it?
If you're waiting in line for 45 minutes to vote, I would get a little cheesed off.
Yeah.
By the way, we have to change that. That's what Barack said in his acceptance speech. He's right. We should all vote by computer at home. It's ridiculous.
What could go wrong with that?
Well, look. There's got to be something. There's got to be some kind of system. Put the head of the CIA on it. He apparently can keep a secret.
What?
Oh, this is what we've all been waiting for.
What?
How much did Judy Garland's dress from The Wizard of Oz sell for this weekend?
Wow.
I know that's the news you've been waiting for.
Wow.
This was the blue and white gingham pinafore dress that she wore throughout the movie, Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
1939 film classic, of course.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
On the Yellow Brick Road on the way to the Land of Oz, or the Emerald City, wherever the F she was going.
Right.
You know, the dress she wore.
Sure.
Went up for auction this weekend. How much do you think it pulled in?
$10.
$10, yes. Let's play Beat Kevin. Let's bring back the game Beat Kevin and have Kevin guess numbers.
I will say 15, just to be safe. Or above.
$480,000.
Wow.
Almost $500,000 paid for the dress worn by Judy Garland as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
It's good to be the 1%.
It
turns out.
To be able to buy a dress for $500,000. The buyer remained anonymous, apparently, because Elton John doesn't want to give away his costume for next Halloween, so he didn't want to tell people that he was the one. I thought that was ridiculous.
That is crazy.
Until I saw that the white dress Marilyn Monroe wore during the movie The 7-Year Itch. Remember when she's on the subway grate and the wind blows up her dress? That's
sure.
Like an iconic Hollywood image.
Sure.
That dress last year sold for $4.6 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Really?
Yeah. It's good to be the number one.
Yes, it is.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Al Michaels, 68 years old today. Neil Young is 67. Megan Mullally from Will and Grace fame, of course, but she's also on Children's Hospital. Very funny on that show. 54 years old. Actress Rhoda Mitchell from Finding Neverland and Silent Hill. She's 39. Anne Hathaway from The Dark Knight Rises. Soon to be seen in Les Miserables. She is 30 years old. Ryan Gosling is 32 years old today. I'm not going to go on until you guys play.
I know. There's always this big pause.
And UFC ring girl Ariana Celeste celebrates her 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. All right, easy, easy, easy.
Break it.
That's a lame-ass bell you got over there.
Hitting it too hard.
Can we ask? Can we ask Bean to donate his bell too while he's donating his liver and give us a good
still
bell
works.
Back?
Still works.
You don't have to work. You don't have to work a bell.
Still works.
That's tragic.
I wasn't using my hands.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
He puts a bag over her head. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. And we say good morning to Chris Hardwick. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going, man?
Very good. How are you?
I am good. I am good. I feel so much better after last night's episode because the previous week I felt like I got kicked in the heart.
It was a gut shot, wasn't it?
It was like 9 gut shots. I felt last night was really good.
I don't have the machinery today. The computer's down, so we can't give the spoiler alert. But we are talking
about
The Walking Dead from last night. So if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to tune away just for a couple of minutes while we discuss what happened last night.
Okay.
Or if you're in a grocery store, just shove some produce in your ears and just go la 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 la.
That's also acceptable. Yes. Now, well, Chris, where do we start with last night's episode, for God's sake?
I know. Well, first of all, the previous week's episode felt like a season finale, and it was only episode 4. And then last night felt like a season premiere because they set up so much great stuff. I think you said you hadn't read the comic book, Kev?
No, I have not.
Okay, so the comic book and the show are always sort of, they're like parallel worlds in a way. So like there are basic touch points, but the storylines are a bit different. So last night there were a lot of major touch points that happened in the comic, but just they were expressed a little bit differently and in such awesome ways, like the gladiator pit and...
Let's talk about the gladiator pit for a bit. They were talking all episode about having a party that night. Oh, they're going to have a party. This is going to be great. What's going to happen? Oh, you won't believe it. It's the best thing ever. And then they come out and Merle... With the steel hand is fighting somebody else, and they have walkers that are chained up, and if you get too close to the walkers, they bite you.
Oh,
and
my God.
It's like the gladiator time.
Can you tell? Yes. I haven't seen it yet.
Lisa hasn't seen it yet.
I'm so bummed.
Sorry.
It's so awesome. Yeah, they created a zombie perimeter, and jeez. That was basically, that was the border of the cage match, basically, and then Andrea's totally horrified by this, but the governor's like, no, like the governor, they're playing him so well because you're like, I know this guy's messed up, but then some of the time you're like, but I kind of get where he's coming from.
Well,
no, he's crazy.
How does he defend that?
I'm telling you that it's not that he defends it, it's that he genuinely can't see how somebody wouldn't enjoy this, almost.
Well, he just says they need sport. He said they need to blow off steam, and this is their sport. There's no more NFL. there's no more internet.
But he's surprised that she's upset, isn't he?
He is surprised, yeah, because it's in the comic book, the Woodbury town, you get pretty quickly that they're kind of like savages. Like it almost looks like a truck stop bar,
right?
But in this iteration of the show, everyone's. The town, they're like kind of normal people. They seem pleasant, and then they had bloodlust at the end. But the other huge thing that's revealed is that the governor has a daughter.
Yeah, the governor is
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. The governor is brushing her hair.
Yeah.
And breakfast alert as well.
Yes, well, let's just say that chunks of her come off. He has a zombie daughter.
Yeah,
oh,
he has a zombie daughter.
God.
Yeah.
So obviously his daughter turned, and he wanted to.
Disintegrating.
Well, she's disintegrating, and now she's trying to, take a bite out of him. So he puts a bag over her head. It was one of the weirdest episodes. I was watching and going, what the F is happening?
God.
It's like he puts her in a straitjacket and the bag over her head, and then he's just like hugging her really tight. And you're like, isn't this what most parents would really love to do, is just put a bag over their kid's head and hug them? It's like, I don't want to hear you, but I want to love you, but I just don't want to hear anything you have to say right now.
But Michonne is watching him, so Michonne knows that he's got this, and she's not putting up with any of it, and she leaves, and she tries to get Andrea to go, and Andrea wouldn't go.
Andrea's all flirty, last I saw.
And that...
Andrea was so Andrea is flirty with... I love Andrea. I love her character because I'm so glad that in the zombie apocalypse that someone would... She's a sexual character.
Yeah, I agree. I was hoping for the Michonne Andrea scene. That's what I was hoping for.
So who's Michonne?
Is that still coming, Chris? Is that down the road a piece?
I don't know. They broke up, and the producers don't appreciate it when I call and say things like, "When are Andrea and Michonne going to hook up?" Like that.
Well, I didn't know if it was in the comic books, but I guess you can't tell if it's going to translate to the TV show or not.
No. The two of them don't really have any kind of much of a relationship in the comic books. Woodbury's actually discovered by Rick, and it's just different. It's just different in the comic. There's no like connection that way between Andrea and Michonne, and in the television show, they were off together for like 8 months.
You're with me, right, Chris? Come on. Any port in a storm, right?
Yeah, they were off in the woods, living in the bushes. Don't say it. Their relationship is not explored that way in the comic.
And what about Rick losing his mind? What's happening there? He's gone way bye bye
for now. He has not really even acknowledged his new baby. And on Talking Dead last week, we took a poll and it was like, what should Rick do? And I think like 60 or 70% of the people said that Rick should go on a zombie slaughter rampage, and that's exactly what happened in this episode.
I was hoping it would end with Carl. I was hoping he would just come across Carl and think he was a walker and just take his head right off.
Kevin, Carl is the John Connor of Walking
Dead. No, he can't be.
He has to be.
He's going to turn into the hero? He must die.
Well, I don't know if he's going to or not. The comic books don't go that far, he was like stoic after what happened with Lori.
Chris, he didn't even check her pulse.
I know.
He didn't even check if she was dead. He just opened fire.
But they didn't show that.
The little effort.
Okay, so you're on a good point now. Let's talk about when Rick does get into the boiler room and he sees the bullet. He sees it, spoiler alert, he sees the bullet and the blood clot. You're like, there's no Lori body. Is she a zombie? And then you see over in the corner, he sees a walker on the ground. Did you know what was happening, Kim?
Yes, I did.
Was the walker
I noticed
dining?
The walker was not dining. The walker was very, very, very full.
Very full.
And very fat.
Oh.
Yes.
And Rick does not take to that well.
They don't want me to watch this anymore. Really, this is getting gross.
It was so visceral. Like, Greg Nicotero is a genius. And Greg directed the episode last night, and he also does the special effects of the show and won Emmys for it. And if you look really closely again, you'll see that the walker has, like, strands of hair on its cheek, and there's strands of Lori's hair.
Oh! It's the first fat walker I've seen. All the other walkers seem to be really on a shoestring diet. They can barely get enough to eat, but that walker...
In the wide shot, you think, oh, is that Lori? Because it looks like it has kind of a belly.
I never thought it was her.
Okay, good. But then you find out that actually the Zapia is pregnant with death.
Yeah. You're so gleeful.
Rick loses his mind, and then he just starts stabbing it in the gut.
God.
Yeah.
And you watch it. You're going to watch it. Yeah, and then the phone rings.
Yeah.
The phone at the prison rings, and he says hello, and the screen goes dark. Come on!
I know, but...
Who is it, Chris?
It's a big storyline in the comic, actually.
Who is it?
So it's going to be interesting to see how they die. I'm not going to tell you.
Who is it?
Now you just sound like Rick. Who is this?
All right, Chris Hardwick, he hosts The Talking Dead, which is on, of course, right after The Walking Dead is on. I think there's twice, right? The Walking Dead?
I think so, yeah. Walking Dead airs twice and then us. So, yeah. So 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock we're on.
The book is The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level in Real Life. The podcast is The Nerdist. What's the pilot taping? You want to mention that?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm doing a pilot for Comedy Central on Thursday. If people want to come be in the audience, you can do that. If you go to nerdist.com, I'll have the details there on how to do that.
There you go.
Cool.
Chris Hardwick.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy. Okay.
That, of course, is Rise Against, another one of the bands that we mentioned was going to be at the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. If you'd like the lineups or any of the information, you can go to krock.com. Right now, we welcome to the studios of K-Rock Simon Amstell. Welcome, Simon.
Hello. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Simon's a wildly popular British comedian who's been working in the UK for about 10 years, right? You've been at it?
Yeah, even more.
Even more?
I've been in show business for 15 years.
15?
Even though, look at how young I am.
I know.
Look,
it's remarkable. You look like you're 15.
I do.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
So, but for Americans,
yes.
Maybe not quite as familiar with your work.
Yeah, I know, but we have to change that, right?
Well, that's because why you're here today.
I keep coming and not being famous.
Do you sort of feel like you're starting over?
I do like it. I like being new.
You do?
Yeah, it's really lovely to sort of do it for new audiences who don't know who I am and have no expectations. It's really, I really like it.
Because they show up and they go, I don't even know if this guy's going to be funny. And
yeah.
You've already had
and then the I am, low. And then I'm so funny.
Are you funny in comparison to their expectations, or are you actually funny?
I'm like officially funny.
Officially funny. Yeah, well, that's good news.
Where do they make that official? Because I...
Well,
Ministry of Comedy, right? Isn't there a Ministry of Comedy there in the UK?
There are just certain... There's, you know, sometimes there's just a sort of a vibe.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know when you sometimes just know that a film is going to be good or bad?
Mm-hmm.
From
right,
the title or...
But that's not official.
Well, depends. It's not... I suppose there hasn't been a stamp.
Okay.
But I think... What are you trying to do to me? I don't know. I think it's...
Making you defend your humor. That's what I'm making you do.
Okay.
Actually, I have a friend of mine who lives in New York City, and he saw your show, Numb, when you were performing it there, and he said it was one of the funniest nights he's had in a long
time.
There you
go. It's official.
So it's official.
Ralph's friend says it's official.
It is. Friend.
You did the show for about 5 weeks in New York, right?
Yeah, it was a long time. It was a long run.
It's a huge success, and now you're doing it here in Los Angeles. The show is Numb. It's tonight at the Largo, and then tomorrow night, both shows at 8 p.m., and you can go to largo-la.com for tickets and more details. Is it? It's a one-man show, so is it stand-up? Is it theater? What exactly is Numb?
Do you sing?
There's no
dance?
Singing. Oh, no, there's a prayer.
There's a prayer?
It's close.
Can you sing the prayer, or why would you?
I sing the prayer.
Okay, all right.
But that's, I can't really explain what that is.
Okay.
But it's essentially just me talking for an hour. It's stand-up. But what people have said to me is that it feels a bit one-man showish because it's all quite personal and there's a narrative to it, so it doesn't feel like just jokes. But to me, it's stand-up.
It's just regular
stand-up. Yeah, I mean,
stand-up.
It's like really funny, officially funny stand-up. Yeah.
What do you draw on for your humor? Is it mostly your family or your own experiences? I mean, you're like 15, so you can't have that much life experience going on.
It's just wherever the pain is.
Follow the pain.
Yeah, if something terrible has happened, then eventually it becomes something funny.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself hoping something bad will happen because you need more comedy?
Not hoping, because I really would like to just be happy. But,
right. But then your career would go away.
I know. It is a problem. It is a problem. I'm sort of a bit happy at the moment, so no new material has been written for
a
while.
In trouble.
Does that mean tonight and tomorrow night are going to suck?
No, because it's an old show.
It's based
on previous pain.
Yeah, there's a lot of old but excellent pain in there. Yeah.
I heard a story that you were once in the jungle while you were tripping on hallucinogens. Is
that
true?
The show.
That's
the
show?
Fairly recent. I suppose that didn't come from pain. That came from healing, really.
Sure.
That was, talking about being in Peru, drinking ayahuasca, which
I had a friend who did that.
Oh, yeah. And how is this person now?
Stayed for a week.
Yeah, that's what you do. I did a week.
It's
4 hours.
It's nuts.
We need to take a break. I want to hear more about this.
You sound like you're censoring us. What do you mean? We must talk about this.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about it. I promise.
All right.
Simon Amstel is here. We'll be right back on the World Famous Kira. We have in studio Simon Amstel, a British comedian who is playing tonight and tomorrow night at the Largo. You can get tickets at largola.com.
What's Jeff Bridges like?
A very nice guy.
Oh, good.
But
where's Bean? What about that? I was promised a bean.
He's off giving a kidney.
Oh, that's show off.
Yeah.
What's donating, he trying to prove?
He's proving he's not an asshole. That's what he's trying to
we
prove.
We thought for Ralph and I seriously considered donating kidneys the day before he was going to announce it.
Just to burn them. Everybody does that. It's no big deal.
So what?
Yeah.
All right, when we left, we were talking about, what was it,
Peru? We were talking about Simon being in the jungle while tripping on hallucinogen.
Well.
And I know this is part of your show, Numb, which is tonight at the Largo and tomorrow night at the Largo here in Los Angeles. So I don't want to give too much away, but I was just fascinated by the series of circumstances that leads up to someone being in a Peruvian jungle while tripping out on a hallucinogen.
Well, you begin with having depression.
Okay.
And then...
All right. Let's start there.
You realize that 2 years of therapy has done something, but not quite enough.
Uh-huh.
And then...
So this is
quite
a therapeutic experience?
It was focused psychotherapeutic healing. I wasn't even sure that I would be able to talk about it in stand-up because it was so profound. And also the perception that it would be seen as sort of tripping out in the jungle.
Yeah,
and actually, it was
a guy
like,
just going, getting loaded in the jungle.
Yeah, but it's not fun.
It's not.
It's not, because I've enjoyed magic mushrooms and they're fun.
Right, right.
And this was...
What was this?
You throw up for a week.
Well, what? That's a terrible plan.
It's not a holiday.
Well, why do you have to go to Peru to throw up?
Because they've got... Because it's legal there what they give you.
Really?
So this was on purpose. You went to Peru and they give you some substance and you're supposed to do what? It's supposed to turn you inward?
You drink this medicine, which tastes disgusting.
It's medicine in quotes, though, right? It's not.
No,
like
I would say it's... I mean, the word drugs got so many... It's just such a terrible connotation. I mean, this it's from plants. It's, you know, it's a natural
Everything's
thing.
Everything's from plants. Yeah.
I know,
so is arsenic.
isn't the problem that... anyway, let's not get into this business.
All right.
My main issue... is that I threw up for a week.
Okay,
and it wasn't fun. So it wasn't like a fun. It wasn't like a fun thing. Like, you don't go on holiday. Like, a holiday isn't where everyone gets a bucket at the beginning. You know,
right?
But well, it depends on the party, I guess.
But also, I would say at the end of a week of throwing up, you're not going to feel like, oh, my life's so much better now.
Yeah, I did.
What?
I would
be more depressed, I think,
if I threw up
for a week than before I started.
Right.
I think. That's how
now
I
I'm depressed and I threw up for a week.
Well, let's listen to Lisa because her friend did this.
Okay. She did it, and there were a lot of people there who had, just like you've been through, a bunch of therapy and were not feeling better. And they have guides, right, that help you through the experience while you're hallucinating and help you to release fear. And, well, people come away from it really changed.
What do they charge you for this? What do they charge you for this experience, Simon?
It was, I don't know, but it was worth it because I was healed.
Okay.
I know it sounds like a sort of loopy thing to do, but, you know, what is perceived as... normal in this culture, to me, that's often loopy.
Right,
you know.
True, yeah.
So that to overcome fear, to overcome a feeling of being one separate physical person in the world, rather than the reality that we're all completely connected and one.
Right.
You know, you come away with that, not just sort of having that idea as sort of thing that you've read or heard somewhere, but having it in you that we're all deeply connected. And it's this incredible, profound experience. I didn't know if I'd be able to talk about it in stand-up, but I found 10 minutes eventually where I was able to sort of discuss it in a humorous way. I haven't been that humorous about it now, but I will be this evening.
No, it sounds fascinating.
Very much
so. I'm glad we touched on it.
No, but is it, hey, your life could be a lot worse. You could throw up for a week.
No, it's
not that.
It's purging. It's about sort of getting out all this crap that's inside of you, this sort of pain from the past,
and it works.
Something happens. Something happens.
So there's some sort of connection between the physical and the psychological that in combination those two things help you.
You get to a place where you are, you know, one with a collective consciousness. You know, that sort of thing. You're it's very difficult to talk about because it's beyond language, really.
Right, right.
It's beyond.
Well, there is something.
Couldn't a
about...
really good night at the pub give you the same experience the next morning when you're purging?
Well, you know, you do what you have to do.
You got 10 minutes out of it, though. That's a lot of time in stand-up.
Yeah, I got.
Right?
And also, I'm in a...
And you're actually better. You're actually healed from it,
right? It's such a hard thing to talk about, to sort of, you know, just guys who drink in the pub, you know. You know, oh, come on, everything else is insane, but what I like doing is poisoning myself with alcohol. That's normal, okay? Don't come in here with your crazy drug trip.
So you were told by your doctor to do that, or your therapist?
No, nobody told... A friend of mine who had done this spoke about it in such a... he was like a kid talking about it. He had so much joy in him. But
don't you interrupt and say, you threw up for a week. I'm out.
No, I said I want this.
What?
You wanted the feeling that he had, obviously.
Yeah, he
the post-throw of
he'd feeling. Got beyond he'd just got beyond physical nonsense, you know?
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
and mentally you felt stronger and happier.
Yeah, I remember after the last ceremony, sort of just lying back on my bed just saying healing complete. Yeah.
Really?
It's still sort of in and out. You know, there's still sort of moments when I'm like, I'm not quite there. But there are, you know, through meditating every day, you know, you sort of stay in this state where you just feel...
Do you have to go in for a booster vomit every once in a while just to support it?
That came up. Because there are a few people there who had been before, and I was like, what's the, you know, I don't want to, And to me, it acted like a sort of psychotherapeutic conversation. So I ended up saying in the last ceremony, tell me everything I need to know now, for I will not return.
And he marched off into the jungle with his pith helmet.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard, but it sounds...
It's not for everyone.
And
it
I
is
can
a
tell
mad
that
thing
you're
to
serious
do.
About
yeah,
it helping.
Good. It helped. Yeah, because I don't feel like I can...
throw up anymore?
I wasn't sure if I could talk about stand-up because I didn't want to make it like a sort of like a funny thing that I'd done. I wanted to sort of talk about it, sort of honour the experience. I sort of want, and I think I've done that. I think in the material, there are funny. There's like the funniness. I think comes from the contrast between my human personality with all its flaws and the sort of the profound nature of the experience and sort of talking like in the way that I just. Told
I
you
have
what
to I do that now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe.
You throw up all the time as it is.
That's true.
I don't know.
I'm surprised you're not much more centered and sort of, elevated than you are, given the amount of vomiting you do on a general basis.
Well, he's saying it helps.
Yeah. You have to do it in a very controlled sort of setting with a shaman. I think
a shaman, yeah. I don't have a shaman.
You have to get a shaman.
Okay. Don't we all?
Step
I don't know
one.
Where to get one, but...
Get a shaman.
Can you just look him up on my Christmas list for you, Kevin? I'm going to get you a shaman. You can hear these stories. And many other from the very funny Simon Amstel tonight at Largo and tomorrow night also at Largo. Largo-LA.com is where to go for tickets. And you're sort of a big deal in the UK, right? You're a star.
I'm a big deal.
You've had a successful TV series, right? You had that on the air. You've been a
We've made a sitcom called Grandma's House that was fairly well received in the end.
You're bigger than Ricky Gervais, is what I hear.
Well, that's a
I
lie,
hear that's
but
true.
That's nice of you to say. That's a lie. But I think I am more likable.
You might be asked to host the Golden Globes again. They might ask you to come back.
Yeah, something. Yeah, he's very funny. He's a
yes,
very funny
is.
Man. But I'm definitely much more adorable.
Yes, you are. And like I said, my friend in New York went to see your show Numb while I was there and just raved about it. So our listeners should go check you out tonight at Largo tonight.
What a wonderful
at 8 p.m.
promotion you do here at K-Rock.
Thank you.
Well, this is
very good.
We're fans. We came in strangers and now we're fans.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe someday we'll all be vomiting together.
That's the dream.
You can hold my hair and I'll hold yours. And it'll be a bonding experience we can both share.
Thank you, Simon, for coming.
Thank you.
We playing all bands that are playing the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, which is December 8th and December 9th. We made the announcement earlier this morning. Night number one is Linkin Park, Rise Against, Bush, Garbage, Slightly Stupid, AWOL Nation, Lumineers, Walk the Moon, The Gaslight Anthem, Two Door Cinema Club, and Youngblood Hawk. Night number two, completely different. The Killers, Jack White, Fun, period. M83, Neon Trees, Passion Pit of Monsters and Men, Group Love, Alex Clare, and Imagine Dragons. Both
wow.
Tickets for both nights go on sale Friday at noon, but you have to be a K-Rock Street Team member. Friday at noon, you will get a password by signing up to be a K-Rock Street Team member, and then you can buy tickets for both nights. And if you need more details, you can go to krock.com.
How do you choose between those two nights? How
I
do
don't
you pick
know.
One? We're giving away tickets to both nights all day long, right?
That's right. At 9:10, at 12:10, at 3:10, and at 6:10.
So you'd be behooved to tune into K-Rock and just break the dial off and just listen here. While we're talking
I
about...
I wish we had time, but time for the showbiz.
While we're talking about...
I wish we had time.
The announcement for the Almost Acoustic Christmas. The 23rd and... 23rd... Almost Acoustic Christmas. 24th? What's it? 23rd? 24th? 23rd.
I don't know, but we're going to make this into a moment.
While we're talking about that...
Yeah.
Earlier, when you first made the announcement...
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a moment with Kevin that was just kind of ridiculous.
This did happen, yeah.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. One more time, just in case you missed a few.
That was a moment with Kevin.
You just surrendered.
You
know
did.
What happened? Bailed.
You know what happened is I'm in charge of hitting the next item.
So you can take your time and hit it whenever you're ready.
Right, or just hit it long before I'm ready. just fade out.
And that wasn't your only success
How
today.
Dare you?
It's just the first day of the week. We already cranked out two new moments with.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
B-Pal. No one's calling her now.
They're not calling them at all. You heard me.
That was a moment with Kevin.
How are you? Yeah, pretty great. Talking about Barbara Palvin right there, B-Pal, from Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. Please.
She apparently seen with Justin Bieber attending a Broadway show, The Lion King. They were out there together on a date. This is the first sighting of J. Biebs.
Please.
Since he broke up with Selgo. I don't know what they're calling anybody anymore, but Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber split up. according to our pal Harvey Levin, it was Selena Gomez who did the leaving this time. And then Justin Bieber just moved on to a supermodel. How about that? How do you like that?
I think it was like one of those older brother, older sister
you think?
Things.
It's like
yeah.
the guy couldn't get a prom date, so he takes his hot cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Egotastic.com, one of my favorite websites, calls Justin Bieber the devil's midget. I find that very entertaining. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office since it is Monday morning. We like to give you a recap on what people went to see over the weekend. No surprise, James Bond, number one for the weekend. Skyfall, in its debut weekend, made almost $90 million.
That's great.
Making it number one by far. Wreck-It Ralph was number two at the box office with $33 million. Then Flight, Argo, and Taken 2. Here Comes the Boom was sixth on the list. Cloud Atlas, Pitch Perfect, The Man with the Iron Fists, and Hotel Transylvania in 3D coming in at number 10.
Javier Bardem, by the way. Unbelievable.
One of the great Bond villains of all time. And when you look at that performance, side by side with No Country for Old Men, where he played the villain in that, I mean, this guy is one of the great screen villains of all time.
He is.
These characters that he creates are iconic and indelible. You'll never forget. And not this. This is not a spoiler. I guess it a little bit. I won't give it away totally. But the moment where he is incarcerated by MI6 in that glass case.
Yes. Yeah.
And he demonstrates what he's been going through.
Yeah.
Was that just one of the most chilling things you've ever seen?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they did it.
Magic
what
of movie
the hell
making.
Are you talking magic about? Of,
see, I didn't spoil it,
you'll
but
see.
I piqued your interest.
You'll see.
You'll see. It'd be outrageous. Peter Gabriel, legendary singer-songwriter, is now getting into social media. He has launched a new social media site called Gabble, or Gable, I guess, depending on whether you're doing a riff off of his name Gabriel or not, but it looks like it's Gabble to me. And what it is you communicate with someone using pictures rather than words.
Oh, this is for me.
You have access to a huge library of still and moving images that you can put together to create a conversation.
I don't do words.
So if you say, like, I love sheep.
Right. I'm not sure why you would say that.
There's
but go
like
ahead.
A little stick figure pointing to himself for the first word.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, a heart for love.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, like, a sheep moving around a field. And you type in your message, and it conveys it via picture form instead of via words.
Would that work for the radio?
What possible use could anyone have for this app? I have no idea.
Those of us who can't use the English language,
Ralph. How are you going to type in what you want to say if you're not fluent in English to begin with?
I don't know. In order
to get little pictures to come up on your friend's screen, then they have to decode what the hell the pictures mean. They think, IF sheep? I don't understand what the hell's going on. I'm confused. And then there's more miscommunication, and then the world comes to a screeching halt. This sounds like a total waste of our time.
But I think I'm going to try it.
If you want to check it out, you can go to Gabble, 2Bs, gabble.com. And Peter says he realizes that this will probably be used for very silly purposes. But what if you were in China and needed a doctor, but you didn't speak Chinese? Well, you just punch in English into gabble.com what you need, and the little pictures will come up.
Interesting.
And then the Chinese will remove your kidney and put you in a bucket of ice.
You'll go as my leg.
That's right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ariana Celeste is 27 years old today. She, of course, from the UFC. We have to get a new bell. That is pitiful.
Hang on.
That is a pitiful bell.
That is a pitiful bell. Sorry.
What's it all gooped up with over there?
Got it, Ken.
And Anne Hathaway from The Dark Knight Rises. It's soon to be seen in Les Miserables. This holiday season is 30 years old today.
Got another bell.
Thank you. Ryan Gosling is 32 years old today.
Ryan Gosling.
Thank you. You play it all the time when I don't need it.
I know. That's
and now when I need it, it's nowhere to be found.
It's not funny if I play it when you need it.
Rhoda Mitchell. She turns 39 years old today. Megan Mullally from Will and Grace and Children's Hospital is 54. Neil Young, 67 years old. And sportscaster Al Michaels from NBC. He is, I hate to say anything bad about Al Michaels because he's been around forever.
He's great, right. I think.
I don't think
You don't
so.
Like him?
I think he's such a throwback. He's such like an old school broadcaster. He just sounds kind of ridiculous now when I
listen like him
to
a lot.
Him. But him and Chris Collinsworth do them. The Sunday night games on NBC. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You people listen well. That's why you're dialing. We're supposed to give away tickets at 9:10. We're going to very, very soon. We're running a smidge late, but very, very soon we'll give you a chance to win tickets for both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. So you can do that at 10 minutes after 9, normally. 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10, your chances to win tickets for both nights. Right now it's time to talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Red Zone. Hey, Andrew.
Like, is someone flaking today because he's, like, giving away a organ or something?
Huh? What? Oh, yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah. Well, we think he's giving away an organ. We're not exactly sure what he's doing, but...
Such a lousy excuse.
That's what's happening. Let's talk NFL over the weekend. What was the big surprise for you?
What was the big surprise? You know, I didn't expect, even though people blame weather, people blame the fact that Jay Cutler, the Bears quarterback, got knocked out in the second quarter. I didn't expect the Texans to, the scoreboard might not indicate it, but thoroughly dominate the Bears like they did. The Bears were completely unable to do anything. They turned the ball over when they did make some gains. The Bears only took the ball away twice, which you say big deal, but their defense has been more opportunistic than that. The fact that the Texans showed up and said, you know what, throw that Ravens game out from a month ago. We are legitimately a top one or two or three team of the NFL and not just a team that survives in the AFC South. I know that sounds silly because they're 2-7-1 teams and the score is pretty close, but they dominated that game. And the other one was, I mean, how about the Rams?
The Rams.
You had a tie. I'm not surprised that the Rams played the Niners tough. They were coming off a bye. They had the week off after London, and Jeff Fisher's going to get them ready.
But still, occasionally you need to be reminded that ties are even possible in the NFL.
Well, you know, there were quotes. Donovan McNabb. You guys remember Donovan McNabb?
Sure.
Ralph remembers Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb, quite famously, in the last game in which there was a tie, which is 2008, it was McNabb and the Eagles against the Bengals, said after the game, I thought we were going to a second overtime. I didn't know you can tie. And he has, four years exactly, taken so much crap.
Right.
Because he's the quarterback of all people that are supposed to know
right.
that the game is still going. He should know.
Right, but it never gets to that point. Anytime it goes to overtime, somebody scores a field goal or a touchdown or something, it never gets to the end of the overtime period, at which point the NFL goes, all right, ties are fine.
Yep, we're done. And but my point was is that players, key players on both teams said the same thing yesterday. So Danny Amendola, who's a great wide receiver for the Rams, he said, I didn't know the game was over. Deshaun Goldson, who's a Pro Bowl safety for the 49ers, said, I didn't know the game was over. And Fox, for a split second, and we've all been there where things go up on the screen that shouldn't go up on the screen, put up a graphic that said, end of first overtime.
Well, it happens so rarely.
It doesn't. It hadn't happened in 4 years. It's happened only 18 times in NFL history.
The New York Jets, are they just folding?
Are they folding?
Yeah.
I mean, that would wouldn't that kind of suggest that they were good to begin with?
No, that's a good point.
I don't know that they're folding.
They've been bad the whole season.
I didn't expect them to win in Seattle. No, you don't go to Seattle across country and win. It's
right, just, but you don't get beat 28-7 usually.
No, it was 14-7 entering the fourth, but they still, I mean, they came out really, really good to start, and then they fell flat on their face in the second half, and they're not going to change quarterbacks. So all you Tebow fans out there, it's not going to happen yet. It's going to be another week and then another week and another week, and their season will be over if it isn't already.
Wow. Tonight, Kansas City Chiefs, Pittsburgh Steelers, 5:30 ESPN.
Yes, sir. With the Chiefs with a one-win team and now allegedly facing a story that they are refusing to pay their former head coach who they fired. Good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
So you see them as perhaps having a tough time with Pittsburgh?
I think roadkill might be the better way to describe it, but I mean, the Steelers don't blow many teams out, but the Chiefs are just bad.
Just too many problems.
I can't think of another word than bad that I use on the radio.
Yeah.
Maybe bad. Yeah, I don't know.
Sucky.
Bad.
You could use sucky.
Sucky's. Okay. We're not 12, are we?
Yes, we are. We are on this end.
Why don't I try that tonight? I'll staring at the camera wearing makeup and say, the Chiefs are just lucky.
Would you please try and work that in? That's NFL Total Access, Monday through Thursday at 4 o'clock on the NFL Network. Andrew Siciliano also on the DirecTV Red Zone channel every Sunday, which we watch religiously. Andrew, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Any day, guys.
Congratulations to Rita Darcy of La Puente. She is the only person who has tickets for both nights at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
She's going to be very lonely.
Just, well, so far. We're going to give away a bunch more tickets. That, of course, is Passion Pit, another one of the bands playing the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night one, Linkin Park, Rise Against, Bush, Garbage, Slightly Stupid, AWOL Nation, The Lumineers, Walk the Moon, The Gaslight Anthem, Two Door Cinema Club, and Young Blood Hawk. Why are you making that noise?
Garbage.
Night number two, completely different lineup. The Killers, Jack White, Fun, period. M83s, Neon Trees, Passion Pit, Of Monsters and Men, Group Love, Alex Clare. Imagine, sit down, Ralph. Imagine Dragons also on Sunday night. If you'd like to buy the tickets, it's Friday at noon. You can go to krock.com for all the details. Speaking of krock.com, you're running out of time for Miss Double December.
Yes.
A little something we like to call Miss Double December. You can go there and you can enter between now and Friday. That is the deadline to be our spokesperson for the entire next year, which includes both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas and Weenie Roast and singles parties and April Foolishness. Everything we do, we want you there so people have somebody to look at. So if you're over 21, you can go to krock.com and you can send in your entry and we will cut those off on Friday. We'll give you a top 10 on Monday, 1 week from today. Right now it is time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, 007 came in at number one with his new movie Skyfall. Daniel Craig returns as James Bond in the 23rd outing for the secret agent. $88 million over the weekend. That number is actually bumped up a little bit. It's closer to $90 million now for its debut weekend in North America. Add that to the $428 million it's already made overseas in the past 2 weeks, and it looks to be the most successful James Bond movie ever. Sony's got to be pretty happy, considering it just cost just $200 million to make.
Boy, they don't risk $200 very often anymore, do they?
Well, Bond is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
You know you're going to at least make your money back and a couple extra bucks, but looks this one looks to be very profitable. For the franchise, Wreck-It Ralph was number two at the box office, did a very strong $33 million in its second week. People raving about that, by the way. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I want to check it out. Flight was third. Argo and Taken 2 came in the top five. Then Here Comes the Boom, Cloud Atlas, Pitch Perfect, The Man with the Iron Fists, and Hotel Transylvania in 3D was number 10.
Got to get to that Here Comes the Boom.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't already. You haven't got a bootleg download for your just computer. Kidding. You can just watch it constantly.
Just joking. That's
Justin funny. Bieber and Selena Gomez on the outs, according to sources. Woohoo! Selena Gomez reportedly ended things. Now, the rumor has it that they've been on again, off again for some time now, for the past 2 years that they've dated. So, this could be just a little speed bump on the road to true love for these two. However, Bieber was seen out and about with a Victoria's Secret model. Went to the Lion King in New York City on Broadway with Barbara Palvin, one of the angels of the Victoria's Secret catalog. And,
she's a pretty good deal.
She is. She's spectacular.
She's not with him either.
I guarantee
you.
There, she wants herself some Beeb.
Not even a little bit.
She wants to break off a little Beeb, which wouldn't be hard to break. A little twig. However, Kat Von D, our friend, and her new boyfriend, DJ Deadmau5,
if you don't mind.
Deadmau5 has also called it quits. Sounds like it was Deadmau5 who decided that things were over. I'll just call him Joel Zimmerman from now on.
Okay.
Which is his real name. It's much easier than trying to decode Deadmau5 and figure out how to say it. They split up. Kat Von D tweeted to everyone, "Get your I told you so's out of the way."
Oh, that sucks.
I guess people were warning her maybe he wasn't the safest bet for love. DJ Deadmau5 himself said he's not cut out for relationships right now, meaning he's looking to bang around.
Yeah.
Kat Von D deserves someone stronger. Yeah, it's not
stronger.
You, it's me.
What does that mean?
Someone who can really give you what you need, who can dedicate themselves to a relationship the way you deserve to have it, your special, special queen.
Well,
princess.
I think she'd like somebody that would return the favor.
Someone wants to be there, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Adele doesn't care what you say about her weight, so cut it out. She says she's always been a size 14, 16. And her size is fine with her. She would only lose weight if it affected her sex life or her health.
I believe her, too, because she's not one of those people that says that and then immediately goes on a diet.
Right.
Yeah. And she's not that big
either. I agree.
She's just normal sized. It's just in comparison to the Tatoff Switlers and stuff of the world or these emaciated pop singers. She looks heavier in comparison. But with a voice like that, who cares what she weighs?
Agreed.
Meanwhile, Jennifer Lawrence also says that she has no desire to lose weight to conform to Hollywood standards.
Good. She shouldn't. She looks great.
22-year-old actress says that she's considered obese in Hollywood standards. I don't know about that. I just relax a little bit. But she refuses to starve herself for any role. She says she recognizes a lot of young girls look up to her as Katniss Everdeen in the Hunger Games franchise, and she doesn't want little girls skipping their dinner to be able to look like her, she says.
Does she want little girls shooting other people with arrows?
Yeah, she says that she would like them to do.
Okay.
Pick up the flaming arrows, ladies. Have a meal, but make sure you kill people.
Right. It's all important.
It's the bottom line. Jessica Simpson, while we're talking about weight, won't get married until she reaches her goal weight, according to Us Weekly magazine.
So never?
Oh, she'll get there. From hell or high water or meth or crank or whatever means necessary.
She sounds fat. There.
She also says she's not going to have a huge fancy wedding, just family and close friends. And lots of food, she said.
Most of all.
Underlining, food. trust me, Eric, fiance Eric, listen up. If she's starving herself to get into the wedding dress, minute one.
Yep.
After the rings are exchanged and the I do's are said, once the final photo is taken, just keep your hands and feet away from her mouth because you will lose something.
And I'll pronounce you man and food.
I am not kidding. It's going to go down.
Hey, fatty, you are fat.
It's not showbiz, but I did want to give a special shout out to Matthias Meyer.
Matthias does good work.
Matthias is my new favorite person in the world. He was arrested in the Bulgarian city of Rus after the cops caught him having sex with a statue of a bronze lion.
It's one of Kevin's people.
Yeah. He was in the center of town with his pants down around his ankles, humping a bronze lion statue in the city square. Matthias, who was 24 years old, told the court he was drunk and he had never been in trouble with the police before. He was fined $30.
Have you ever been that drunk, Ralph?
That I would try to hump a bronze lion statue?
Right.
No, I never have.
Me either.
Incredible that alcohol was involved in this case. And I'm surprised the fine was just $30 and then he was let off because isn't that statutory rape?
Oh.
Hey! Good night, folks. I'll be here all week. Come and try the veal, won't you? Speaking of events, Saturday is my birthday. Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I are going to be performing.
In your birthday suits?
Once again, in our birthday suits, doing Hollywood Birthday Babylon at the John Lovitz on Saturday night. It's a special birthday celebration the kids are throwing for me there at the Lovitz. So if you'd like to come by, 8 p.m. is the show. Me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you join us. You can go to thelovitz.com and get your tickets there. Hollywood Babylon special birthday edition Saturday night.
Will you be drinking any more than usual?
I drink a lot.
I know.
While I do this show.
I know you do.
Yet I still would imagine that there would be even more than the usual drinking.
Yeah. You're gonna have to pre-party.
I can't imagine
shirt before the shirt.
What that is going to be like, really. But I'm predicting a spiritual awakening.
It's going to be
the next morning, as if I was in the jungle, if I was in Peru, and I was trying to release some demons.
It's going to be a drunken mess. Let's be honest.
I think that will be happening.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Ariana Celeste is 27 years old today. Anne Hathaway, of course, most recently seen in The Dark Knight Rises, soon to be seen in Les Misérables, the movie of the hugely successful Broadway musical. She's 30 years old. She sings that "I Had a Dream" song. I love that song. And I had a dream, and I dreamed.
Does she do it better than this?
And then I dreamed that I had a dream. The dreams I dreamed are not worth dreaming. Beautiful song. A lot of dreaming in that song. Rhoda Mitchell's 39 years old today. Megan Mullally from Will and Grace and Children's Hospital, 54 years old. Neil Young, 67. Al Michaels, legendary NFL sportscaster, is 68. Not just NFL, he does a lot of stuff. I most remember him from the earthquake game in San Francisco. Remember when the big earthquake
game?
He was on the air broadcasting that baseball game. It's crazy.
You don't remember him from Do You Believe in Miracles?
Well, sure, that too.
All right.
68 years old today. And Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling
is 32 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Travis Barker in studio.
Ooh.
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Love that guy. We have Nat Faxon in the studio from Ben and Kate. And in the 7 o'clock hour, we have our breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
Very cool.
Tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and